Portions of our programming have been pre-recorded.
The Good Neighbor Network, WGNS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna. Flagship station for MTSU sports. The views and opinions on this show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of WGNS, its management, other hosts, or advertisers.
Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
And I want to tell you about a great friend of ours, Jay Mullins Jewelers. You know, they've been in this county for going on 100 years now. And their new location is 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. Jewelry for any and all occasions, weddings, birthdays, of course, all holidays, Christmas and everything, getting real busy around the Christmas holidays. Check them out at 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. You know, Jay Mullins Jewelers. Can't beat it. All right, and good evening. Our advertising is out of the way for the first half of the hour. Ed Raymer with you with the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. We're going to bypass our normal opening, okay, because I wanted to give our guest maximum yield of his time. Jeff Wooden is here, and you're running for Murfreesboro City Council, right, Jeff?
That's right, Ed.
Jeff, have you been here before?
I've never been here before, so it's an honor. Thank
you.
Well,
we welcome you. Thank you very much. How do you find us? Let me tell you how you can find us tonight. Of course, right here on the good old-fashioned radio, 1450 AM, 100.5, 101.9 FM. Right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And you can reach us tonight, and Jeff as well, with your questions, your comments, your ideas at 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. Now, you can also catch us live on YouTube. You can catch us on Facebook Live at News Radio. Correct me, Connor, if I'm wrong. News Radio WGNS, right? Okay. And you can... find us there, and you can find all of the broadcast I've done in the past, last week's show, 2 years ago, a show, type in a date, type in the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. I know my family listens up in Western Kentucky. And listen, also, if you could, to, Angela Bingham, just her and Angie Marie just left here with Simplicity, and they're doing a great job at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, and they're doing for Rutherford County and Murfreesboro what should be done, and they're feeding people, they're just spreading the word, and they're spreading good news is what they're spreading. They're not out here necessarily, thumping their Bible, which they do a little of that too, and that's fine, but they're just doing a great job for people here in this town. And Jason Qualls, he's got some good financial advice, some pretty good guests that he has on that are very knowledgeable people, financial coaching, if the sports and the baseball don't get in his way. Jeff Wooden is here tonight. You're running for Murfreesboro City Council. Jeff, you ever run for office before?
This is the first elected office.
This is the first time. Now, I notice your wife's here. Have you had this animosity toward her long, or is this just something you did to get back at her?
Well, fortunately, she is extremely supportive. As well as my 14-year-old daughter, who's gotten into the process as well, and she's.
Well, I just wondered. I saw her coming out of one of the divorce attorney's offices yesterday. Yeah. And
I heard the rumors, but I think she was there with Dwight too. So I'm just saying.
I would not doubt that at all.
We're going to be together.
I'm telling you, No, we're glad to have you here. And wife June is here with us. Welcome to you, please. You also as well. And we thank both of you for doing this tonight. I appreciate it.
We really appreciate it.
Why are you doing this, Jeff? Let's start with that if we could.
So, you know, we moved here. We had a lot of places to choose from when we moved to Tennessee. And we really looked at it and said, you know, we looked at Mount Juliet. We looked at Lebanon. We looked at Murfreesboro and said, this is a progressive city, but it's got a hometown feel.
Sure.
And people were welcoming, mm-hmm. good school districts, and everything else. So that's what brought us in. But even in the time we've been here, we're just seeing things that don't make sense. You know, that's explosive growth, nothing strategic. You know, infrastructure that's not keeping up.
No.
You know, you've got...
Our infrastructure hasn't been planned.
Right.
There is no...
And yep. you've got to do those together, right? You can't just, hey, we're going to build another housing division. What about the roads, the sewers? What about our schools? How are we going to attract people? How are we going to do all that? So I really feel like, and obviously traffic, right? Everybody talks about traffic.
Sure, obviously.
So my real belief is you can't keep doing what we've been doing. It's time for a change.
Sure.
And I think I bring a breadth of experience and knowledge that can help facilitate that change while working with the citizens and the constituents here in, you know, Murfreesboro City, and then expanding out to Rutherford County.
Where did you move here from? Where are you from?
Our last couple decades, we're in the Washington, D.C. area.
Right. Okay.
So
you're familiar with the Washington culture to some extent?
Oh, very much so.
And unfortunately.
Unfortunately. It seemed, one of the things is, so I did 22 years in the Navy, and I had an early tour in D.C., and it seemed like once you do well and then get out, they drag you back.
So I used to tell
people there are furrows in the ground all over the country from me trying not to be dragged back to D.C.
Right.
And then then I ended up doing my federal civilian career there. I even spent a year on the Hill as a legislative fellow. So I've seen the sausage making that we call lawmaking
right.
in real life.
Yes. Okay.
And then when we finished that, it was, where are we going next? So I ended up down here as the director of emergency management up at the airport in Nashville.
Emergency management director, yeah. I think I told you tonight, we've done some work with Raymer Brothers. We did mm-hmm. some tinning for them. We did glass and glass tinning.
Mm-hmm.
And we did some work for them. That's been many years ago now. Of course, everything's changed and all that. give me some of your high points, one or two of your points that you think is important. I think you may already have with, you know, infrastructure being number one problem.
Well, and I think a lot of the candidates, we've all been talking about the planning's out of control. There is no planning. It just happens. Hey, you want to build a subdivision?
Yep.
The council rubber stamps it, and away you go.
Right.
So there's that. But you take on some other, and they're, so it's interrelated, right? The planning, lack of planning, infrastructure, things like that, fiscal responsibility. But it even drills down even farther, and it's like, how are we taking care of our children in the schools? You know, are we going to be able to provide them breakfast and lunch? Are we going to have classroom sizes that are manageable? Are we going to pay our teachers enough? Are we going to pay our law enforcement and our EMS workers? You know, I heard somebody say the other day, well, you know, police officers making $55,000 a year, it's tough for me to go tell my constituents who are only averaging $35,000 a year that they need a pay raise.
Right.
And I'm like, that's mm-hmm. pretty narrow-minded when you're talking about people who put their lives on the line
that's
every
exactly
single
right.
day. And then when you look at, in effect, too, what about our elderly? What about the mental health crisis? All of those things are intertwined, and we got to have a solution. And I just don't think the current council, they all mean well, I'm sure.
All right.
But,
yeah, sure.
But these are problems that have been in the decades in the making, right? It didn't just happen yesterday.
Right.
Yet.
Yeah. We should have seen it coming down the road a long time ago.
And people talk about, well, it's terrible. Within this. So my question to them lately, after I've listened to a lot of the constituents, is, well, okay, we all agree that these are the problems and they've been going a long time. Why are you reelecting the same people over and over? Or at a minimum, why aren't you holding them accountable? And I think that's a big deal. I think people need, that's part of my other big message, is people need to get out and vote. It's not enough to be registered. They have to get out and vote. Their voices
right.
matter. Their voices need to be heard. And that's how they hold people accountable. And that's how they get change.
Sure.
They put in new people. And so that's been mm-hmm. my big thing is, you know what? We can do this together.
Sure.
But it has to be done together. And
right.
it doesn't mean you're Republican, you're a Democrat, and it doesn't mean that you're the enemy or you're wrong just because. I mean, the truth is, when I'm on the council and one of the other members, I mean, we're all nonpartisan, right?
But, sure,
but
sure.
Face it, there are Republicans and there are Democrats.
Sure.
So when one of the Republican-leaning members comes up with an idea that's a good idea for the community, then let's get behind that. It shouldn't just be, well, I can't support that because that came from that side of the aisle.
And
compromise is not a dirty term. People want you to that because right. they want you to stay scared. Yeah. They want you to stay divided. But no, right. hold them accountable. Listen to what they're doing.
Agreed.
And then come back and tell them you did good or, hey, that's not what we wanted.
Yeah. And I realize, you know, there are times, too, that the council does things and it turns out bad. They're going to make mistakes.
Yep, because they're people.
Our county commission, they're going to be mistakes made. I will never forget one of our previous mayors, Richard Reeves, and I. We were watching on television one night. It was live. They televised, you know. Mm-hmm. And they had a certain contractor they'd gone with, and they went with the lowest bid, okay? Which sometimes we know can be a danger, okay?
Yep.
And that the company couldn't handle it, basically, yep. that they'd chosen. And he sat right there, and Mayor Reeves talking, well, I guess that goes to show you sometimes, folks, the lowest bid is not necessarily the best bid, you know, and he's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Because we're a company, Raymer Brothers, years ago when glasswork and things like that came around, we had to make those bids. And yeah, some yahoo comes in here, you know, one bids at $80,000, another's at, you know, $74,500, and here I can do it for, I'll do it for $11,000. You know, there's just no way that's gonna fly. But sometimes it gets by. Yeah. And then if you're not careful, the recipient is the one that ends up paying the price. In this case, at that time, they did. And when they do, the public does not have a problem with that if they'll just come back and say, we made a mistake.
Be transparent.
You cannot and say, you know,
be perfect. And that's the other thing, too. If your constituents want you to vote a certain way, but you know because what you've looked at, the research you've done, and things like that, maybe it's that low bidder one is something, right?
Sure.
But you do your research, and you just can't support that vote.
Sure.
You owe it to them to come back and tell them that, not, well, I'm not going to say anything, and I just hope they never read the record.
Yeah,
because the real truth is, unfortunately, local politics, most people don't go and look up the record of what the council's doing. They just, it happened, until it's too late.
But if you're standing there with the proof in your hand, it says, look, this says this probably is not going to work.
That's right. And sometimes, I mean, even then, even with a good answer, your constituents are going to be upset, and that's okay.
Right.
And you just work through it. But again, it comes back to that, you know what? If we do this as a team, and it's not, I'm your elected councilman, I have a title, I know what's best for you.
I told
the group the other day, I said, look, a big red warning flag for you should be anytime a politician comes up and says, I know what you need. You should go running from the room.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that comes back to, you know, be involved. Vote.
The only people that know what we need are our wives, and that's about it, you know?
Of course.
I'm trying to help you out here, Jeff, because she's in a corner when you got here.
That's right.
No, you know, and you know, another thing, we have politicians. And in recent years, when I say recent, I'm talking about 10, 15 years this has gone on. It's, you know, and you see the polls. We see state polls, local polls that say, you know, 60, 70% of the people are not for this. And they go ahead and we're going ahead with it anyway. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got just a slim majority that aren't in favor, 51 to 49.
Yep.
And I see that. Now, if you got 70% of the people, you need to say, you know, we need to table this because we need to go talk to these 70% and say, why is this? Mm-hmm. You know, because if it's an area going to be annexed, 70% of those people are not living in that area.
Right.
You know.
Well, and I think, you know, that comes back to voters feeling disenfranchised, feeling like their vote doesn't matter. And that's the message I've been trying to bring, especially now as we get ready, you know, the May 5th primaries, which I think are critical, and then obviously the August 6th election. But be involved. Get out and vote. Because if you don't come vote, then you're saying, I like it the way it is.
Yeah, and I don't. Yeah, I heard that once. I heard a vice, but I'll tell you what, I heard a vice mayor say that once. It may have been before y'all ever got here. Said if people don't vote, I guess they I guess they like what things the way they are. Well, guess what? He got voted out.
Good.
Next
and
that's, and they the way because we be. Were having a low turnout, and I thought, well, I guess people, maybe they're not happy with the way things were going.
I don't think they are. And
no, they're
and,
not.
And I told them, I said, look, I really want you to come vote for me on August 6th, but even if you don't, vote. Your voices deserve to be heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
One vote can matter.
Right.
And you don't want to be the one who sat home that day and said, well, you know, I couldn't afford the time to vote. And I tell you, you can't afford not to vote.
Well, that's what we've said here many times. This presidential voting thing in this Electoral College, that's only in a race for president of the United States. Mm-hmm. That's it. The rest of our races, our governors, our senators, our congressmen in Washington, here locally, our city politics, you are elected by votes. Oh. And those votes count. Yep. And there are many right now where two or three votes is making a difference, And I look for that maybe to happen here because we've got some awfully good candidates, of which I think you are one.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
we're glad.
That.
I'm glad you're doing this.
Now, the voters got to believe that.
No, so. I've got to.
I'll get my wife out there.
Yeah. I've never put my name on a ballot, and I probably never will. I admire anyone that has, and I really do. I respect you for doing it.
It is a different experience, but I also, I think I come at it from the angle of if you vote for me, I am privileged to have been elected by you.
Sure.
And I owe it to you to listen. It's not. Oh, well, I have the title councilman in front of my name, so now I know what's best, and I'm going to dictate to you.
Yeah.
No, public service in all phases. So I, 19 years as a volunteer paramedic, 3 years as a reserve deputy sheriff, giving back to the community.
Right.
Public office is another way to give back to the community, but it's more complicated because you have people. It's the city of Murfreesboro, so it's the city of, potentially, there's almost 170,000 people
right.
that in one way, shape, or form I'm representing, and that's a big responsibility.
Sure.
So
sure. But, and the rest of the county, all of our cities intermingle.
Yep.
We're all, this whole thing is connected, whether you like to think that or not. Yep. But we are.
Yep.
And we've got great schools. We have a great election system set up here. Alan Farley is the head of it, and
he has done
a remarkable job. Yeah. A good friend of mine, Hooper Peniel, for years was in charge of it when the Democrats had the majority. Of course, the Republicans do now, but Alan is very serious about this. He doesn't even joke about it.
No.
And it's a very serious thing. As a matter of fact, he went to Washington and he testified before a Senate hearing, I believe, over how things are being run here. And we've got so many remote places out and about. If you're at lunch or whatever and you're not near your home base, but you can still stop there and vote.
Makes it
great.
Well, and that's a big part, too, is making voting accessible to people and how do you get people out. So we need to figure that out, especially in our county and city, because
that's
we do have people that can have mobility problems.
Yeah, but only having roughly a 10% turnout me and Brian Barrett sit there at election night, and we put, and Alan starts bringing the results out, and it's 7%, it's 8%. Mm-hmm. Where are people? I don't know. I'm not the greatest guy in the world, not the smartest, certainly, but I have voted in every election I could vote in since I was 18.
Same with me. Included when I was deployed and made sure I used the mail-in.
Yeah.
At the time, that's what absentee ballot was, nothing but mail-in.
The mail-in. Yeah, okay. Well, I think we ought to count them. I'll just leave that
But you need to make voting accessible. You do not want to disenfranchise anybody. Because if you honestly believe like I do, every vote matters, the voice needs to be heard.
Right.
Then how do we make it so we don't want it to be arduous to make people vote. But there are some people in power today, that's exactly what they want.
Right.
Because the harder it is to vote, the less the turnout, and they think they'll benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I come back to, no, if you want change, turn out.
Well, see, what I did last fall, we had a chili cook-off, and it was a Democrat party. It was over at Philip Austin's place. Okay. He was good enough to set it up. And Pat Clement won that chili cook-off. I demanded a recount of those votes.
Look, every vote counts.
That's right.
Just saying.
This is not fair. Something is wrong here. There's been... We have a caller on the line. That poor person does dare call me. Yes. Caller, go ahead. This is Ed Raymer. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Raymer, how you doing? Hope City Council of Canada is doing well. I just want to give you some numbers here on the...
is this Jeff?
Yes, Jeff.
Well, Jeff, you sound different tonight. You must be on a different phone.
I just want to give you some numbers here on the election, the early voting. They say we have more people early voting this time than last time.
Right.
About close to 7,900 have voted so far, about 4%.
Okay.
They say it's up by about 2,700 since last time, 2020, according to Mr. Farley, our county elections.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Does an outstanding job, as you know. And the 2024 election, the federal election, our turnout was 66% then.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's what it was then. And then... And compare another county, a little, I guess on a by 24 year, in Manchester they have about 38,400 people registered. We have over 200,000. You know, registered to vote. They're only voting total so far. They've had about 4% come out.
So where are we at, Jeff? Where's our
right now? We're 4%.
4%. Okay.
We're about 79. We've got 2,700 more early voters than last time.
Okay. All right.
Early voters. We got four early voters. We had four early voters in this 2026, and we had 2022, which is a good thing, I think.
Jeff, I think you probably, I don't know, either one, I've got a Jeff here and I got a Jeff on the line, but
so that's
Jeff's
a great name.
Let me ask you. Yeah, how many registered voters we have? Like 200,000?
200,000.
Yeah, a little over 230,000, I think.
230,000? Roughly.
In the entire county.
County.
And then
right.
in the city, it's closer to like 89,000 or something.
Okay. All right.
I'm not sure what they have. What I wanted to ask is, ask the candidate. Are besides you being on the ballot, is everyone up this time, or is it like I know there's usually like the top three or four get the seat. So are there four or five on the ballot this time? I can't vote for city election.
Yeah. So for Murfreesboro City Council, there are three seats up. The three incumbents are running. There's myself, and then there's a fifth candidate. So there'll be five of us running for three seats.
Right.
And then the only thing I would say about that, though, is people look at those ballots and it says, oh, you can vote for up to three, right? That confuses voters, to be honest, because voters think, oh, I have to vote for three. No, my message is vote for one. Find the person you want and cast your vote for that person. Because if you vote for three, you've diluted your vote.
Right.
So if you really want somebody, just vote for the person you want. So for most people, I hope they vote for me, but...
Okay.
Just vote.
All right.
I mean,
okay.
And there's one question I want to ask you about.
Sure.
I know Emily hadn't asked yet, but I'll ask you. I know you know about.
No, go ahead, Jeff. It's fine. Please.
I know you know about Mount Trashmore, correct?
Mount Trashmore.
our great Mount Trashmore landfill out there. I know Walter Hill out there. Well, our county mayor says that the transfer station that he put in the recycling things, waste, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He says that we're getting $1 million from that a year.
Okay.
Because he's already said that the budget, he said, of course, it's the George Bush thing of read my lips.
Okay.
We ain't gonna raise that. Because he gets $1 million from that. I'm sure there's other stuff he gets. I just wanted to ask you about that, what you think about the solid... What the transfer station they have now, and it's going to close up at some point. I know it's a big issue. Everybody talks about it ad nauseum. And I'm sure people have asked you about it since you've been out campaigning. But I just want to get your comments on the transfer station. You know, there's some other things, but the county, but you can't really do anything with it.
Jeff,
That's what I want to ask you. And I'll get off and y'all
okay.
have a great weekend. Enjoy show.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank Jeff you. Neal, good supporter of this broadcast and of WGNS. Jeff, hey. What do you think about all this? Because trash is a problem.
Trash is a problem, but trash comes from a growing metropolis. Now, if
sure.
we're, you know, I've looked at it a little bit, and it's a little unclear. If we are just dealing with trash for our county and our city, you have to have a place.
Sure.
And that dictates size, and I think they need to do more impact studies to figure out. I mean, we're a big county, big city.
Sure.
There are options. I think where you get a real problem is if you're agreeing, though, to take other municipalities' trash and then saying, oh, and because we're doing this, and even if they're going to get $1 million from taking somebody else's trash, what's the long-term cost
sure.
to itself? You know, where does recycling fall into that as well? Because, I mean, we recycle, but it's, you know, we take the recycling every week. We don't have a service that comes and
sure.
picks it up.
You're doing it in your own household.
Yes, we do it in our own household. And there are benefits to that. But, you know, where I came out of in Virginia, they had a huge recycling plant and then they also had built a big incinerator. So instead of necessarily burying all the garbage, they were burning a part of it.
Sure.
Those are very expensive propositions. I think they can be affordable, but you've got to make the decision. This is for our community, not, hey, I'm going to take trash from Nashville.
Yeah. Is it like for those incinerators that burn that trash,
mm-hmm.
is that, aren't they like anywhere from $3 to $4 million?
They're very
expensive. It's a huge
to
investment,
build.
But it is worth it once it's in place.
If you build it appropriately. In this case, it means build it for what are you going to need in 5, 6, 10 years?
Sure.
Not, hey, this is what we're building it for today. Because
mm-hmm.
by the time it's built,
yeah.
it's obsolete. Then it is worth an infrastructure investment. It goes back to the comment about infrastructure.
Sure. Right.
We're going to build more houses. We're going to have more people. We're going to have more garbage. What do we need to do?
Right.
They can be also expensive to run. So you have to figure out how much can we burn? What's the break-even point? And when will we get there? So if you build the right facility, and for the first 3 to 5 years, you're not breaking even because you don't have enough, but then years 5 through 25, you're well past break even, it's a great investment. And then there's the question is, does the city run it? Does the county run it? Or do you hire a contractor
run
it? Like many recycling programs are run now, they contract those out. Different cities have different success in that, but it takes a council who's involved, not just, hey, this is a bright, shiny object. Let's say yes.
Well, you know, and that's where we got in trouble, talking about people that make institutions and entities that make mistakes. Rutherford County government made a mistake when they went with BFI, I think it was at the time, on this landfill out here, mm-hmm. on Jefferson Pike, and they left the contract open-ended.
Yep.
Next thing we knew, I think at last count, there were 27 counties dumping trash here, and you could go by it, and every few 3 or 4 months you could go by and just see it. We've got a problem here,
mm-hmm.
and not to mention the stench that those residents are having to face out there.
Yep.
It's a terrible problem. We all know that, but there's a mistake the county made. You should have had it for 5 years, 10 years max, and with none of us back in the 80s, so we didn't see all this coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you needed to see someone that was in county government. You just walked in their office, you know. They weren't busy. Well, they weren't. You know,
yeah.
Tommy Sanford was our property assessor at that time. I walked in Tommy's office many times to see him. Hey, what's going on? You know, all getting ready to go to lunch or whatever. You know, it just wasn't that busy.
Mm-hmm.
And this all started with the construction of Nissan, and then from there it started snowballing. And, of course, today is a different ballgame.
Yep.
It's hard to just walk in anybody's office and say, you know, I need to see they're in a meeting, on a phone call, in the middle of a mountain of paperwork, whatever the case might be. But with that said, with that approach, that could be feasible
mm-hmm.
to at least look at
so.
This. Because I think they were going to with a company called Waste Away, the city was looking at, and I think it's under construction out, or proposed to be under construction out by me out South Church, right off Joe B. Jackson, somewhere in that area.
Well, and the thing is, they need to, first of all, and I get it, and I sympathize. I don't want this in my backyard because what happens to my property value is because now I've got a landfill a mile away. I mean, it's like back when Fairfax County built a new waste treatment plant. We don't want it here because in 10 years we build houses. What'll happen? Well, the answer to that is strategic growth planning.
Sure.
And you accept we need this. I mean, trash has got to go somewhere.
Sure.
We can't all be like New York City that loads it on a barge and sends it somewhere else, right? Because chances are they're sending it to us. But the real truth is you have to plan strategically and go, for the next 25 years, we're going to need this, which means we have to buy this much property or we have to plan for it. And quite honestly, we're not going to build houses across the street because that's ridiculous. Why don't we build parkland across the street?
Sure.
Or a nature preserve or something. Plan something. But that comes back to my original thing about unplanned, non-strategic growth that we just rubber stamp everything that gets put before the... And they deny it. They're like, oh, no, we don't. We deny things. I'm like, well, show me five things you denied in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing there.
Right.
So common sense.
Sure.
It's got to be common sense.
You know, and it's a funny thing, this Waste Away, if that is the company, and I'm not sure that it is, but it's a company similar. They're supposed to be building out by us because, like I said, we're out South Church, Joby Jackson. Mm-hmm. That's our from Joby Jackson over there out at I-24, you can just about throw a rock and hit our house. And they said, well, aren't you going to be concerned about the smell and everything out there? I said, look, there's a bunch of businesses and a bunch of houses already out there. Those big businesses pay taxes too, and I have them. They swing as bad as I do. You know, they swing a bigger bat than I do when it comes to certain
things.
Certain things. I don't think they're going to have anything. This is a whole different ballgame. This is trash that will be burned.
Yeah.
Or recycled. However, they're going. This was to be burned, I believe.
Yeah.
But on a much smaller scale. Because they're doing this in Warren County, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
With a Waste Away.
I have to be honest, that's one area I'm
not
really
fine.
But I mean, recycling, though, is both good and bad.
Sure.
You know, 10, 15 years ago, recycling actually was very profitable for a lot of municipalities because there was a huge market. Japan was buying all our paper. And
they were,
you know, bales and bales, shiploads of this paper was being sent off, you know, over there, and people were making a lot of money. Then the market kind of fell off out of that. Then they got stricter about what they would take and not take. And at one point, Japan basically refused an entire cargo ship of paper that came from the U.S.
Wow.
So they had to insert. But what happened is everybody planned on the big money from recycling and weren't planning for if it dropped off.
Mm.
They've gotten a little smarter, so things are a little better. But still, where do you encourage it? Where don't you? I mean, look at Murfreesboro. It's not mandatory. Recycling.
They're voluntary
if you want. Whereas we came out of in Virginia, you had a big 55 gallon trash can and you had a big 55 gallon recycle. And like they didn't come in for it, but you were supposed to. But they came in and picked it up.
Right.
They came in the morning, got your trash. The same truck came back in the afternoon and got your recycling because they were really serious about it.
Right.
Because they found a way to obviously it helps the environment, right? But it also is a way to reduce landfill.
But was it economically feasible for the entity itself?
Yes.
It was.
They took a hit when some of the paper market fell off.
Right.
But all the other things and the way it was structured, the way it was handled, it was economically feasible for them. And even when they lost a little bit of their profit, it was offset because they weren't putting it all in the landfill. And at one point they said, we have now bought 10 more years of landfill use.
Okay. All right. So you're planning as best you can. Yeah. Right. You know.
But you can't just say, well, you know, Billy Joe said it's a great idea. Let's just do it. I'm trying to be facetious, but.
Yeah, I'm telling you. We're talking with Jeff Wooden. He's running for Murfreesboro City Council, and he's asking for your vote when the early voting's already started.
Right.
Correct?
And I'm not on that ballot because I didn't have a primary, but it's early voting now for the primary, May 5th, and then after that would be August 6th.
August 6th. That's the day.
That's the day.
Okay. All right. All right. Connor's going to take us to our last break. Our second break, our last one, and we're with Jeff Wooden, who's asking for your vote for Murfreesboro City Council. I'm Evan Lee Raymer, and we'll be back with you right after this. Stay with us.
Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
And I want to tell you about a great friend of ours, Jay Mullins Jewelers. You know, they've been in this county for going on 100 years now. And their new location is 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. Jewelry for any and all occasions, weddings, birthdays, of course, all holidays, Christmas and everything, getting real busy around the Christmas holidays. Check them out at 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. You know, Jay Mullins Jewelers. Can't beat it. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
And I want to tell you about a great friend of ours, Jay Mullins Jewelers. You know, they've been in this county for going on 100 years now. And their new location is 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. Jewelry for any and all occasions, weddings, birthdays, of course, all holidays, Christmas and everything, getting real busy around the Christmas holidays. Check them out at 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. You know, Jay Mullins Jewelers, can't beat it. All right, and we are back. Ed Raymer with you with Emily Raymer Show. Jeff Wooden is running for and asking for your vote for Murfreesboro City Council. And we have a caller on the line right now. Caller, please go ahead.
Hey, Ed. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? Who we got here?
Jason Bennett.
Hello, Jason. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Hey, I just want to tell Jeff thank you for running.
You're welcome.
And it was good to meet you just about an hour and a half or so
yeah.
ago.
Okay. Yeah,
I was on with the girls earlier, but thank you so much for running. You know, that turnout that we have, which is awfully low, and I'm sorry to say that the other Jeff was a little bit wrong. We are down in numbers,
okay.
Because you know, we're looking at 27,000 total in 2022 at this, you know, the same juncture for county elections. 27,000
right.
total, and we're sitting at 7,450-ish right now, just a little bit below 7,500 total votes, which is just a little below 4% turnout. But, you know, the Democrats are not showing up. It's 15.6% Democrats showing up in the lowest
They never do.
In the lowest district, it's less than 100 votes. It's 30 votes. Democrats have 30 votes in District 5. So, anyway, the biggest driver of that is lack of candidates running for countywide offices, not district offices, not school board zone offices, countywide or citywide offices. So thank you so much, Jeff. And I also agree with you on having to work with other people. We've got to do this. But thank God the city races are nonpartisan still. I hope we never, ever, ever, you know, get to a partisan.
Jeff has a question. Jason, Jeff has a point to make.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
So one of the things, I agree, the turnout is really low, and we've talked about that. We've got to encourage people. But what I don't want people to do is look at these early voting statistics and become too discouraged.
Right.
Because what hasn't been proven, and you alluded to it, Jason, because sheriff, mayor, things like that, there are no quote-unquote Democratic candidates.
True. People will go in and vote.
People are
right.
Pulling a Republican primary ballot so they can have a say in that, knowing that who they're going to vote for normally in the general election. So, yeah, the numbers look very skewed right now, but I don't want people to be discouraged. I don't want anybody to look at those numbers and go, well, then why bother coming out to
sure.
vote?
Yeah.
No.
And you're exactly right.
Because
a lot of people are not as hard.
We need to get out the vote, and I work very hard on doing that every single day. Absolutely, we've got to get out the vote. Don't get discouraged. Go vote. And yes, in this particular election, there are a lot of crossovers because people want to stay in those countywide races.
But
that wasn't happening that much 4 years ago, and we're looking at a little bit smaller number than what we did then. I'm tracking them every single day and letting something out every day about it.
I know you are, and I appreciate you, and we appreciate you're doing, because this is what this county needs is more people that are engaged in what's going on. I'm a hard head and I'm hard to get along with. Okay, I'm part of that. I'm not voting for that bunch, but
I know you.
Yeah, I know, and you, and I know
and
you
I,
said,
I don't disagree
you know,
with you. Yeah, it's a, you know, it's.
I just can't do it. I just can't.
It's the first time I've done it in a long time, but it's very hard to do. I just want to say, I think there's three very, very important elections that we've got to get rid of a couple of people.
And being a hypocrite, I'm going to sit here and agree with you. You're exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, but I get it. I totally get it.
I am what I am.
But. My main thing is, thank you so much, Jeff. It was great meeting you earlier tonight, and I'm glad I'm listening, because I love hearing what you're saying. I love your experience. I love your thoughtfulness, and you've got a fan so far, so let's keep that up. And can't wait to push you in August. We'll get that vote out.
I appreciate that,
Jason. Thank you. Please stay in touch. I know you will, and we'll be talking to you. Okay.
All right, man. Thank y'all.
Jason Bennett, and one of the strong supporters of the Democrat Party, and identifies as being somewhat liberal, and, he's not ashamed of it. So, at any rate, thank you, Jason, and thank you, Jeff Neal, for your call, because I know they listen every week, and, man, I appreciate it. I really do. Jeff, where do you want to go from here? A topic.
I think,
ask you to write down some things. Please go ahead.
So, you know, we talked about the big things. We talked about growth, planning, infrastructure. But there are subparts of that are equally important issues we have to look at.
Right.
So we're talking about how are we managing, taking care of our aging population, the elderly. I mean, when you look around and you see places like Adams Place at 100% capacity, and so are a couple other facilities. What are we doing for them? What do we have in place? Are we even giving them consideration? And I don't think we are. And we need to, because they're still a valuable part of the community. And it doesn't matter if you're 50 years old, 80 years old. I mean, someone who has given me a wealth of Mr. Stephen Cates.
Oh, Cates he's one of a kind.
I have met him, and I look forward to meeting with him again. He is just a wealth of knowledge, and he's level-headed, and he brings a level of experience. And I mean, you know, he's in his 80s, and look at all the stuff he's experienced.
No, he's not he told me to have you on, and guess what? That was just yesterday, and you're here tonight. So.
All right, so we know who has the power.
No, it was June. It was a little earlier than that. Yeah. No, it was a week or two ago.
Yeah.
But seriously, no, I listened to and these folks are voters.
Yep.
They're voters if they can get them to the polls.
That's their thing.
So the last vote my father made was my dad was laying in a hospital bed in a nursing facility, and I handed it to him, and I said, fill it out. And I knew exactly who was going to vote for him. My brothers asked, well, did you look and see who voted? I said, no, I didn't, because it wasn't none of my business. But, far be it for him to vote, for a Republican, but he, bless his heart, he won his last election. And
there you go. but that's a valuable segment of our community.
Caller, we got a caller online. Okay. We have a caller online. Caller, please go ahead.
Yeah, Ed, is this Skip Reynolds?
Hello, Skip.
Caller, I'm a big fan and involved with you on Facebook a lot. So, okay. Enjoying the show tonight. I'd say first time caller. Unfortunately, I'm in the county. Well, I shouldn't say unfortunately. I'm in the county.
Right.
So I can't vote for Jeff for city.
Right.
But one of the big things I'm concerned about is the growth of the town. The traffic is outrageous. And I've heard talk about them expanding the city limits out this far. I'm out, between 99 and 96 off Windrow Road.
Right.
And, I've grandfathered in from farming from many years back.
Sure.
And if it turns city, what happens to my property taxes? And who votes to determine if they expand city limits farther out? Do I have a say in it?
I've got to tell you, Skip, I don't think you do, because I talked to it once with the county commissioner and said when the city gets ready to do it, we really don't have a say so in it. Now, you can go to the city meetings and complain, which if you get your numbers high enough, they'll probably listen to you. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't vote for, anybody, in the city.
Understood. And I feel the same way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I would encourage you, Skip, even though you can't vote for the city right now, two things. One, your voice still matters. So get out there and be heard and engage your county commission commissioner, because they should interrelate with the city council. And when I'm elected, I would certainly be interested in what people have to say, whether they vote for me or not, because what the city does impacts county life, what the county does impacts people who live in the city. So you have to have that dialogue. When you expand the boundaries, that's interesting. I've not seen or heard something like that in a long, long time, because most things are set historically. But I can see where the growth in Murfreesboro City, and I can see where the county would want to shift some of that responsibility.
Sure.
So
sure.
The real question is the county just want to roll over because they want it to happen?
Right.
Or do they want to see things back?
I see what you're saying.
Or is the city saying, when we incorporate more property, we'll have more taxes that we can collect.
Sure.
So that's a really delicate trade-off.
Sure.
Well, now the question I would have is, because I am grandfathered in as a farm, I've got decent tax rates on my property. Yep. What happens if this city takes over? Am I totally, the property reappraised and totally do, my property tax is going to double or triple or whatever, or is that what being grandfathered in as a farm, does that have an effect, with the city?
I can tell you someone that you...
Greenville.
Skip, I can tell you someone you could talk to, and I can talk to you later next week sometime too, would be Mr. Pettis Reed. Pettis is your commissioner, right?
That name doesn't sound familiar.
Do you know what district you're in, Skip?
Commissioner?
He's commissioner. Looking at it. Reedville, Eagleville, all that area. Now, is that the area you're in?
Yeah, it's Rockville. Is my mailing address.
Yeah, but should be Pettis Reed.
I've gone in.
Yeah.
Oh, I just, I'm looking right now. Phone number. Let me move down.
Okay.
I'm in Senate District 13. Representative State Executive Committee, Committee Woman, judges. Now, why are judges a judge should never be partisan.
But they are in a lot of places.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I know. But Skip,
the other question, or
go ahead, please.
Well, I was gonna ask too. I'm registered as a Democrat, but I can vote in the Republican primary. And the reason people aren't voting in the Democrat, you know, if you go out there and look, there's nobody running, or if there is, most of them are empty. It's just one person that's, you know, running. So why would I vote in a Democratic primary when I have no selection at all? You know, so
go ahead,
what I'm looking at is going on in voting in the Republican primary and find the lesser of the evils. Because, you know that, you know, our county mayor and all that's going to be a Republican. And I start trying to, you know, judge who is, what is it, Craig something? You know, he's on Facebook.
Yep.
And I tried, you know, and I asked, you know, about the overbuilding. You know, is there a way to slow it down? You know, the roads, I mean, the traffic is horrendous. Coming out 99 in the afternoon. Of course, they're working on trying to, you know, four-lane it farther out. And in 96, coming in the morning, you know, and even going out in the afternoon, it's nuts.
And Skip, so, this is a problem that's been ongoing now for several years.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been building.
And they start the road, and you go out there, and you see half a dozen people working, you see machinery sitting around, sitting there not doing a thing. And I can remember 96 when they widened that out. That was a five-year project.
Right.
It took them over 4 years. They poured it all up. It was made a mess. And then the last 6 months, boom, they went and fixed it. They sit there 4.5 years, a disaster area. You know?
Right.
You know, and stuff like that is, you know, that's not right.
Yeah, and Skip, in all defense of that, too, you run into contracts where the county overlaps with the state, and the state will overlap with the city. Do you see where I'm coming from? And then, and that can slow the process down by the time easements are obtained and all that. Now, I'm not giving any excuses, don't get me wrong. And also, while it looks like they may not be doing anything, Skip, they're working on that infrastructure, too. You may have underground things that have to be put in place. And I don't know this for a fact now.
There should be people out there working on it if that's the case. I mean, they widened it out, had the power lines going
right,
and all of that. And they are doing some, you know, 99 going out. But, gosh, we went through that big retirement development out there off of 96 on Outways.
Right. And mm-hmm. Sure.
I got hundreds of homes, and it's a two-lane. And traffic coming in the morning, you know, backed up on 96 there at Veterans Parkway. It's you know, could be backed up a damn mile going back.
Oh, yeah. Very easily.
I just don't even try to go that
sure.
way. I just avoid it in the morning completely.
I understand. Skip, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. I appreciate your support. And I appreciate your comments.
Well, thanks. I definitely enjoy you on Facebook. I finally got around to calling in.
Well, thank you.
Hi, Jeff. Jeff sounds like a good guy.
Thank you. Appreciate
that. Sounds like we need some good, you know, young, you know, fresh, you know, fresh.
Some fresh faces. Sure. I agree.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna cut his handcuff loose here in about another 10 minutes. I'll let him go home. But I drug him in off the street, bless his heart. And
like, hey, do you want to be on the radio?
Okay. Skip, thank you very much.
Thank you, Skip. Stay involved.
Ed, we appreciate you. I'm glad you're out there.
Thank you. We're glad you're out there too. Thank you, Skip Reynolds, good friend of ours, good friend of this broadcast. You know, and he's got a point.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many things that, you know, and may I say this, still, this growth is new to a lot of these people here in the mid-state all
mid-state.
Over.
Right.
They just don't know
how to handle this. This is certainly not Chicago. It's not New York, all that. You know, we're getting like Chicago. I saw a guy in a movie say once, we got two seasons around here, winter and construction. Okay. You know? Mm-hmm. And well, it's getting to where it's about like that. You know, it is.
Well, and it's, you know, Nashville continues to grow. But right. For it to grow, that means it really just bleeds over. And what used to be far distant suburbs,
sure,
now become, they're more like a bedroom community. And you see it in all the big cities. You say you're not, but you know, DC, Chicago, Cleveland, Cincinnati, as they grow, what used to be a suburb 30 miles outside the city limits,
right,
now seems like all the and where there were farmland and woods between,
right,
not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's roads, right, malls, houses, gas stations, because they've expanded. They still have their identity, but they're much more interconnected. That's what's happening here. Murfreesboro,
right,
continues to grow, close to 170,000 people now, forecast to be well over 200,000 in the next 12 to 15 years, roughly.
It'll beat that,
maybe
probably,
as many as 20.
Yeah,
but
right,
you're talking another 10% growth, easy.
Right.
And the problem he identified, these roads that are backed up, it's because that other development took place and the infrastructure didn't. The roads are trying to catch. The worst thing you can do is build something and then say, oh, we got to get the infrastructure. Because infrastructure is expensive.
Sure
so
it is.
So part of what he's seeing is, you're right, is it state money? Is it county money? Is it city money?
Right.
Is it federal money that's building
these
roads?
Federal money, yes.
And when does it get doled out? Did the government shutdown stop the construction company from getting, or the state getting their $5 million check and $3 million of it was coming here?
Yeah.
There's all those variables. But if you plan in advance, you can plan those lulls in. And if they happen, you're good to go. And if they don't happen, you get things ahead of schedule. But construction can take forever. I grew up in upstate New York, and Buffalo was the second largest city from Rochester. And there was a route, U.S. Route 31. And we joked, people spent their entire career building 5 miles of Route U.S. 31.
Working
on Route 31.
I can imagine.
So
you're
going to see that here. Yep, we're going to expand things. But then think about it. If you're taking a road that was a two-lane or two-way country-type road,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Now you're saying, it needs to be four lanes. Well, first of all, the easements weren't that big to begin with.
That's right.
So now you either have to get voluntary or you have to invoke eminent domain.
Eminent domain.
Never a popular thing. But it happens. But then, as you alluded to either, none of that other infrastructure, sewer pipes, water drainage, they've all got to be built in.
Right.
And you have to build up the roadway to take it. You can't, it's just not, hey, get the bulldozer out, drop some gravel.
It's like my good friend Stephen Reynolds said, and Stephen ran for Desjardins State twice for Congress. And he said, we're talking about stuff, it's just not sexy.
No, it's not.
It's not. And a perfect example of what you're talking about now, and my wife and I have a lot of personal experience with this, is right out Old Nashville Highway.
Mm-hmm.
The Old Nashville Highway used to be the main road here. That was it. And then I'm going back now to the 60s and 70s, okay? That was one of the main roads that was here. And someone may want to call, well, we're a little bit late now. We've only got 2 or 3 minutes left. But Old Nashville Highway is two lanes primarily. They've worked it where they can put a turning lane in at some stoplights. But now you're up with your easements, which weren't that wide to begin with. And now we're going to have to invoke eminent domain. Mm-hmm. And people don't like that. You know,
because it's their property. And for some people,
right,
it's been in their families for generations.
It may have. And there's another thing. You have places where the front yards aren't that big to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason when we did our house, we built ours. I said, let's go about 20 feet farther back because we never know. I don't think anything's coming our way. But who knows? You know, because we're boxed in. We're a small community. And that's fine with us. That's where we and all of us out there are fine with that.
Yep.
Jeff, I want to thank you for doing that. I want to thank you for your knowledge. I think I'm going to have you back.
Okay. I love being here. I really appreciate you having me.
No, I do. So. And I appreciate you paying that $300 fee to come up here and talk to me.
I know.
I may have you back.
And a discount, though, because I'm a recurring customer.
June's a little mad at you. She didn't know you let go of that $300. But I sure
appreciated me.
I'm sorry. Oh no, that Matt Connor, that mask got me in trouble again.
Thank you so much. How do we reach you?
Tell folks how to get you. You know what's going to happen, though? People are going to have heard that comment. They're like, there he goes, another politician paying his way into our house. I'm like, no, it's not.
He did not give me a penny, folks. Please. But tell people how to get in touch with you. What's going on?
So if they want to reach, so I'll give you my campaign. So my campaign email, it's pretty simple, Jeff at JeffreyWooden.com. So it's JeffreyWooden.com. I'm also on the internet at JeffreyWoodenForCityCouncil.com. I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram some version of that.
Yeah, and Al Gore invented that internet.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he did, right from Tennessee. But
I was with him when he did it.
And the interesting thing, though, is I would tell you this, is I've reached out to people, told them, write me, call me. Nobody's done it yet. So
I know.
People, reach out. Give me a call. I'd love to talk to the voters and hear more, because I believe I know what real issues are, and I'm learning more every day. But I want people to come to me. I don't want to presume too much, because then I'm just like everybody else, telling them what they need, and that's just not the way it is.
Jeff Wooden's been our guest here tonight. Connor's been on the board. My name is Evan Lee Raymer, Ed Raymer for the Evan Lee Raymer Show. And I'll tell you what, till next Sunday, it's 8 o'clock. Till next Sunday, messing up my dramatic exit here at 8 o'clock. I'll catch you down the road. Good night.